everybody, to the Building with Purpose conference today. I'm super stoked because I get to interview Mitch Matthews. Now, I met Mitch about a year ago, and we've done a little bit of work together. I can't wait to do some more, but let me tell you briefly who he is, because he is going to bring some awesome to us today. So Mitch has been training life and business coaches since 2008, and he has helped coaches, thousands of coaches from around the world. He lives in Des Moines with his wife and his two sons. But there is so much more to you, Mitch. Mitch, welcome to the Building with Purpose conference. I'm so excited to have you.
It's an honor, Justin. I love it, man. This is great. I love what you're doing, and I think it's fantastic. The world needs more of it.
Thank you. Now, those two sentences are fantastic, and it clearly gives us your heart and passion. You've been doing this. You have some knowledge. Right. You have some expertise. You have some skill sets, and you have a life outside of that. But you do so much more than those three sentences. So tell us just a bit about you and that journey.
Right on. Well, professionally, I have this weird kind of audacious goal of helping to launch a million dreams in my lifetime. It feels like I was put on the planet to help people do more of what they were put on the planet to do. And one of these strange goals that came out of us to help, you know, launch a million dreams while I'm here. So some of the fruit of that is training up other coaches. I've been a professional success coach since 2002, been training other coaches since 2008. I still coach people every day. And I've just got a passion for helping other coaches not only coach better, but build businesses around that. And I started to realize, you know, if I truly want to help launch a million dreams, I can't do that alone. So training up other coaches is part of that goal. I also have a podcast called Dream Think Do, which, you know, my goal with that is to help people dream bigger, think better, and do more of what they were put on the planet to do. Mm. And it has been an incredible ride, an amazing experience. I've been able to have people like Brendan Burchard and Lewis Howes on this show, Pat Flynn, Good Morning America's Sarah Haynes, Good Morning America's Paula Ferris was just on the show, that kind of thing. So it's just been amazing. But yeah, again, the goal is to just get people going after more of what they were put on the planet to do. So that's me professionally. But more importantly, I'm married to my best friend, and we met in college, and she's amazing, named Melissa, my wife, Melissa. And we have two boys, 19, 21, and they are with us right now, which is a real treat because our younger son had moved to LA to pursue his dreams of being an actor. So he's sheltering with us. So that's kind of one of the blessings of this wild time, is getting a whole lot of family time. So that's kind of me in a nutshell.
Excellent. Thank you. And I love the heart and the passion about helping people reach their dreams. I think a lot of coaches try to do that in some way, but you're very intentional about that. And so I want to start, because I think a lot of people are struggling during this time with, what does that look like now? Have you seen a change either professionally for you or in the clients you're serving, how they've had to chase their dreams in light of what's going on in the world?
Yeah, I think this is actually, it's a wild time. And I know that I'm very blessed to get to continue to do the work that I've, you know, feel like I'm called to do. And in some ways, this season has been, actually, it almost feels like somebody pushed the gas pedal down to the floor. And what's interesting is I have one of my coaching clients is actually in Hong Kong, and she has been sending me, as she says, emails from the future, because they're about two months ahead of us in this whole thing. And kind of on that front wave. And initially when she started hitting me with this, I was like, nah, it's not going to happen. Like, she started to tell me, hey, you got to get ready for schools to close. You got to get ready for businesses to close. And I'm kind of like, no, not the, you know, you don't know the United States, right? Like, and then very, very quickly, just weeks after those predictions, we started to see them happen. And obviously it was a shock. It's not something that, you know, we have contingency plans for our business, a lot of different things we've thought through, but pandemic, I mean, we've even thought about zombie apocalypse, because we're, you know, Walking Dead fans, for crying out loud. So we thought about zombies, but we never, you know, thought about pandemic slash, you know, all these wild things of toilet paper and things like that. So, you know, it's interesting. I feel like in some ways I got a little bit of a head start on awareness, but I feel like in many ways it's a challenging time, but I also think we're going to look back on this time as really, I think, a season where people were forced and encouraged to think more creatively. And I think we're going to see new solutions, new products, new businesses come out of this in ways that we never thought possible. One of my coaching clients owns a yoga studio, as an example. And last year we worked together to bring what he does online. Now, he just thought it was going to be supplemental income, a way to reach more people, all of those things. He's very glad we started that work last year, because although he just thought it was going to be supplemental, he basically has had to make the decision that that is going to be the way he's taking his business, you know? And so it's been one of those things where he's had to be very creative, very innovative, proactive. But I think if people are up on their toes, if they're kind of ready for a fight and like really willing to work for it, I'm seeing people create businesses in a short amount of time that are actually making a huge impact. So yeah. It's a challenging time, but I think when we look back on our history, some of the biggest innovations, breakthroughs, best companies have come from seasons like this. This is an extreme version of that, but I really believe that's true.
Yeah. So somebody's sitting here and they're watching this and they're like, yes, I agree. Maybe my mindset has been stuck and this is actually an opportunity and not some obstacle.
Yep.
What are those steps to start building on that creativity and following through on some of those action steps?
Yeah, I love it. So that's such a great question. One of my thoughts on that is it's interesting. What I see is I see kind of two groups, right? I see one group that's more passive and they're waiting, right? They're waiting for the check from the government. They're waiting for the PPP payment. They're waiting for somebody else to solve the problem. And then I see a group of people that are saying, I'm going to take an active role, right? Like I will adhere to whatever the CDC says. I'll adhere to what the government says, but I'm also going to say, I'm going to take an active role, right? Now, what I see in some ways breaking off people that is rampant when we're not in a pandemic season, Justin, is that I'm seeing that in non-pandemic times, and you know this because we've worked together and I've worked with a lot of entrepreneurs, you know, a lot of coaches, but a lot of entrepreneurs. What happens in non-pandemic times is people can get really stuck before they start, right? Mm. They kind of get into this mindset where I have to figure it all out before I get started. I have to figure out who my ideal client is before I get started, because I don't want to put in a bunch of effort until I know who I'm marketing to. And so once I figure that out, then I'll really get my website set up. Then I'll really think about my products, my services, all those kinds of things. And what's interesting is that, as you well know, so often people get stuck in what we call the conundrum, right? The ideal client conundrum. Like, I'm not going to start until I have this figured out, but we all know that you won't figure it out until you start, right? Yep. So what I see in non-pandemic times is a lot of people get caught in that loop and there's no catalyst to push them out. But in this season, I'm seeing people say, you know what? I've got to start. Like there's no option B. And so I have to move forward. I'll just figure it out as I go. And I think that that's something that in some ways is kind of a blessing of this wild time, is people are saying, yeah, I've got, one of my favorite quotes from Theodore Roosevelt is, do what you can with what you have where you are, right? And I grew up in a bike shop in a small town in Iowa. That was, you know, my youth from 13 through college. I worked under one of the best entrepreneurs I've ever seen in my life, learned a ton from him. But that was one of his mantras he would just drill into us. Because oftentimes we needed to do something, we needed to make something happen. We didn't have the budget for it, or we didn't have, you know, the ability to reach a bunch of people, or we didn't have as big a platform as somebody else. And he would always say, do what you can with what you've got where you're at. And I see more and more people doing that with their businesses or doing that with new businesses right now, saying, I just got to figure it out as I go. Because I need to create revenue, I need to, you know, take care of my employees, I need to do what it is, right? And so they're finding solutions as they go, as opposed to waiting for the perfect conditions to start.
Yeah, excellent. That's great stuff. And give us some of those practical things. You run a podcast, you're coaching online. We'll talk about how they can connect with you at the end, but it sounds like,
absolutely,
especially because you had this head start, because you got emails from the future, you lucky son of a gun.
I know, right? I felt like it was a really bad, version of Back to the Future.
It might actually be better if there were zombies. Who knows? Like,
exactly right. You never know. My boys are still getting ready, you know?
So how have you personally, right? You said you had contingencies, but not this.
Yeah.
So you've both had some preparation and been caught by surprise. How are you trying to capitalize on this time in helping people pursue their dreams?
Well, I think actually what you just said there on the last part of the question is a big part of the solution, right? One of the ways that I think we can break through is to figure out actually how to help people. What happens, I think, in times when people are scared, whether it's pandemics or just, you wake up in the morning and there's dire predictions about the economy or politics or whatever. I mean, this is an extreme version of what we normally face every day, right? We're bombarded with things that are meant to scare us. And what happens most of the time when people are scared is they tend to move into a hoarding mentality, like kind of trying to hold on to whatever they've got and keep that protected, as opposed to saying, all right, who can I help? Yeah. So it's one of those that, for me, I've realized like, what we need to do is we need to help more people, serve more people, and then also as a part of that relationship, have more to offer them on the backside, on the other side of offering a lot of value, offering a lot of help. So, one of the ways that you and I connected is we've been offering these challenges, these 7-day challenges for coaches. Because one of the things that I've realized is a lot of coaches and a lot of entrepreneurs, period, they're taught kind of the basics of whatever their business is. For coaches, a lot of times it's being taught the basics of how to actually coach someone, right? For a lot of entrepreneurs, it's what is your product? What is your service? How are you going to display that? Are you going to have a storefront? Are you going to have a website? All of the, the basics, nuts and bolts. But when it comes to actually like branding and selling what it is you do, most of the time, that's just a big question mark for people. And so we started to do these 7-day challenges that really offer a bunch of content, way more content than people ever pay for it. And right now we're actually, we can talk about it later. We're actually making that challenge for free just because we want to help as many people as possible. Now, on the other side of that, we do offer different ways, that we can work together, but it's only after people have really gotten the experience of getting to spend time with us, getting tremendous value. It's kind of that taste it and see that it's good model, of being able to say, hey, I want you not only to get to experience what it is, but really benefit from it and maybe even see a return on that time that you spent with us. It's a little bit like, I always go back to the bike shop, again, growing up in this hole in the wall bike shop in Newton, Iowa. It was 2 blocks off the square. It was next to the strip club. And then on the other side was the Goodwill. So for a 13-year-old man, it was a place to hang out. It was wild, right? WD-40 fumes in the air, right? None of this stuff's allowed anymore, right? But I learned a lot. And one of the things we always learned was, get somebody out on a test ride. If somebody came in to check out a bike, get them out on a test ride. Let them experience what it's like to ride that bike. And I think so often we're not able to, or we're not willing to give people the chance to really experience whatever it is that we do. And so that's one of the things I always say is find ways to provide value, find ways for people to really kind of test and see that it's good. And maybe almost to the point where you're tipping over into people say, oh my gosh, you're offering too much for free. But I would say if you're willing to do that, and on the other side of that are true products and services that your ideal client can really feel good about buying, then it really does work out to be a win-win. And especially in today's day and age, I think people are innately skeptical. I think some are really worried. And so it's even more important for them to really get to experience the best of what you've got, so that then they know, gosh, if it's this good, then what's it going to be like to work with this person, or what's it going to be like to buy a product from this person?
Yeah. And I think, at least in my experience and the people that I have coached and work with, there's that fear of, but if I give my best stuff away, what else do I have to offer?
Right.
And you're really trying to shift that logic and saying instead, the more value you provide, the more people want to work with you.
It really is. And I think there's a scarcity mentality. And then there's also the question of sequence. Okay. So the scarcity mentality will go after first in that. And the only reason I know this is because I experienced it too, Justin. It's not like I've always had this down, right? It's that old thing of realizing, I started to wrestle with that. Like, wait, if I give all my good stuff away, then what are they going to buy? Right. Yeah. But then I realized, one, I need to get more good stuff, right? Like, if I'm worried that somebody's going to experience all my goodness in 3 hours or less, then I don't have enough good stuff yet. You know what I mean? So part of it's like expanding, you know, kind of broadening, deepening my bench a little bit. And I had to wrestle with the podcast. We just, you know, hit the 250 episode mark. And I can remember when I first got started, I was like, oh my gosh, if I share all of my knowledge, nobody's ever going to hire me. And then I started to realize, wait, one, this show forces me to gain more knowledge weekly, which is great, which I am then willing to share. And so that's one of the things that I realized, like the scarcity thinking had me thinking small, right? And thinking more expansively, right? To say, hey, I need to glean more information so that I can offer more value. But that's a great experience. Like, I am an active learner. I love to learn. Yeah. So that's just good. You know, that's forcing me to do it. So that's breaking out of the scarcity mindset. But they also, the big thing too, when it comes to providing value and worrying, like, I'm giving too much value away, one of the things I always say is to think about, you know, people get a lot of free value from me. Right. But when I do that, I do that in a way that's scalable. Right. So, you know, people can listen to the podcast again. We're over the 260 mark on episodes as we record this. I think we're at 267 this week. And I realize like tons of great free content that we've given away. But I know that when people work with me, that's when they actually start to get the sequence. So if somebody wanted to go in and peel and dissect all of those episodes, they probably could pull out some of my best content. But when they work with me one-on-one or when they hire me, that's when I start to give that to them in a sequence that matters. Mm-hmm. So I always say, you know, if you're worried about giving all of your content away, one, make sure you're stretching yourself and always learning new things. But two, keep your best sequencing to when people work with you one-on-one.
Oh, that's great. And so one of the other guests that we have on here is a podcast host. That's what he does. It's the foundation of his business model.
Awesome.
And we talked a bit about that. It sounds like for you, whenever that happened, 267 episodes ago, but maybe even prior to that, it was a business shift. Like I get the sense you didn't go into coaching saying, well, I want to be a podcast host coach.
Nope.
So what have been some of those? That's the real world example. What are some of those insights that you've gleaned from stepping out into this new faith journey and saying, I don't know what I'm doing, but here we go. And now you can look back 267 episodes later.
Right.
You've got a wealth of knowledge.
Right. Absolutely. Well, in some ways, what I've always, you know, especially as an entrepreneur, like I grew up a worrier. I don't know about you, Justin, but I like black belt level worrier, like worry myself sick, ugly sick, not like cute sick, like ugly sick. So like worry comes easy to me. I get better at it every day, but you know, I'm still not where I want to be with it, right? But one of the ways that I've had to or been able to break through worry, first and foremost, is prayer. But second is the mentality of experimenting. Mm. And I really believe in the power and the importance of experimenting. So, you know, if a scientist walks into a lab, they're going to say, all right, what do I want to prove or disprove today? Right? And they come up with a hypothesis. And a hypothesis, if you look up the definition, is just a best guess, right? An well-educated guess. And then they set out to experiment with that hypothesis, either proving something's true or not, right? Like they're going to say, hey, I think this is going to work. I'm going to try it, right? And then what they do is they evaluate and adjust. And if the experiment doesn't go the way they thought, that's not failure, that's learning. And so one of the things I realized was I had to have the mindset of a scientist. So as podcast is just an example, right? When I first started out with the podcast, I didn't know what I was doing at all. But what I did was I told myself, I'm going to do an experiment of 25 episodes. And basically with that, I was giving myself permission to make mistakes, you know, try to learn, fail, fall forward, all those things. But I also, at 25 episodes, gave myself the permission to, one, say, what have I learned? Two, see if I'm, you know, see return on the business. And three, see if I still enjoy it. And so at 25 episodes, I realized like the return on investment was still a little shaky because, you know, those kinds of things, it takes a while to see the return, but I was learning a ton and I actually found that I was enjoying it, right? So then what I did was I said, all right, I'm going to give myself another 25 episode experiment, right? And not when you're experimenting, it's not like, you know, whatever, put in the least amount of effort. It's like, if I'm going to experiment, it's a full-on sprint. I'm going to focus. I'm going to drive. I'm going to bring excellence, all of those things. And then I made it to 50. And that's when I started to say, okay, one, I'm learning a ton. Now I'm seeing return on investment and I'm enjoying it. So instead of just another 25, I said, I'm going to go for a bigger experiment because what I started to see, at least in podcasting, but in every other type of business, oftentimes the longer you stay with it, the more results you're going to see. So I said, all right, instead of just going another 25, I'm going to get to 50, or I'm going to do another 50, which is 100, right? See how I did the quick math on that,
Justin?
Very impressive. I had it written down in my notes just so I could double check it. Right. But then I was like, all right, once I get to 100, then I'm really going to check myself. Now here's the other thing is I really believe in experimenting. But then I also thought to myself, and this is very true, at 100 episodes, one of the other elements that I needed to think through, and I think this is true of podcasting, but again, I think it's true of any good experiment when we talk about entrepreneurism or, you know, if you're more of an, you know, intrapreneur within an organization, if you're going to experiment, one of the things as the experiment goes longer, the, you know, an important element is to say, all right, am I also moving into sunk cost fallacy? And I'm not sure if you've ever heard that phrase, but it's one of those you can amaze your friends with at dinner parties or whatever. Back when we, you know, remember dinner parties?
Yeah.
You know, future dinner parties, all those kinds of things. But
seems like so long ago.
I know, right? Exactly. People in a room, crazy. But sunk cost fallacy at 100 episodes, I wanted to check, am I still enjoying it? Am I seeing return? Yes, yes. Am I still learning? Yes. And then sunk cost fallacy is just checking yourself to say, am I doing this just because I've always done it? Right? Because at that point, I'd been doing it for almost 2 years because it was one episode a week. And so I had to kind of check myself to say, wait, am I just doing this because I've been doing it?
Yeah.
Right? And I could really check myself because sunk cost fallacy, it's damaged a whole lot of businesses, a whole lot of products. Yep. You see people hold on to a website too long, or they hold on to a product too long, or they hold on to a person too long because they've invested time, they've invested money. So you have to kind of check yourself, especially the longer the experiment goes, is to say, are we doing this just because we've always done it or because we sunk so much time or money into it? So basically I did another 100, then agreed to do another 100, and now I'm on my third 100. So I've agreed to say, all right, once I get to 350, you know, that's when I'm going to say, all right, I'm asking all those questions again. So that's just one example to be able to say, start, experiment, and then check yourself.
Yeah. Well, and I like, I mean, one of the things that you were very clear about is you started this experiment, but you also intentionally said, but I gave it 100% effort.
Yep.
I wonder if there isn't this willingness to say, I'll experiment, but maybe I'll give it like 50% of my attention. And that way when it fails, I'm not hurt as much.
Yeah.
And you're just saying, no, like when you experiment, that scientist has to give 100% energy and focus. So it requires us to both experiment and embrace failure to some degree, that it still might happen.
Right. Absolutely. Well, it's that whole thing of, you know, when you have that mindset of a scientist, if a hypothesis doesn't go the way you plan, you know, you start to experiment with it, you know, you still can chalk that up as learning. So it's not failure, as long as you look at it from the right perspective, you know, and I'm not rainbows, butterflies, and little ponies. You know, sometimes failures, or when things don't go the way you planned, it hurts. Sometimes it's even expensive. But to be able to say, all right, I'm going to look at this and say, what have I learned? What am I going to do differently? Mm-hmm. And start fresh tomorrow. Let's do it, you know? And so that's wildly important, no matter what the process is. And, you know, I always really believe, like, hey, whatever emotion you're feeling right now, feel it, but then choose to say, all right, what is going to serve me best, especially tomorrow, right? Like, yeah. if you know, things didn't go the way you planned, especially right now, there's some people that are reeling because decisions either they made or somebody else made, you know, they're paying a price for it right now. And one of the things is, you know, if you're dealing with that, feel that feeling, allow yourself to feel that feeling, and then let it go and move forward. Right. Cause that's, yeah. That's what I see. I saw, it was interesting. We were in a conversation with a group last night on Zoom, is with a group that, I don't lead. I'm just participating in a little bit, and people were frustrated with the government. And some people were frustrated because they hadn't gotten their checks yet. And some people were frustrated because they were releasing a group of people to open businesses, and other people, you know, for other people, they weren't moving fast enough. And it's like, guys, I get it. Feel that frustration. But then, you know, give yourself a couple of hours of it or whatever. But then we got to focus on what we have control over.
Right.
And we're not, you know, I know you'd love to be able to control those big decisions, but that's not within our power right now. And if you want it to be, go get elected next time. But for right now, that's not up to us. So what we have to do is we have to act. So feel the frustration, feel the fear, feel it for, you know, a little bit of time, and then say, okay, I'm moving on. It's time to take action.
Yeah, that's great. One of the things that I use with my clients is we almost treat it like a book on a bookshelf.
Yeah. Right?
We maybe kind of want to pretend like, oh, that, I can't see that bookshelf. I can't see that book. That doesn't actually help, because then you just, what is that?
Right.
Take the book off the shelf, look at it. Okay, this is what the cover looks like. And then put it back up, right? It's this very, I can hold it. I can embrace it. It's a tangible thing. And now it goes back in its proper spot.
Yep. I know where it's at. Yeah. If I want to get ticked, I can pull that book right out. I can
pull
out.
That book down again.
That's a great metaphor, because it is. It's that whole thing of saying, you know, if you're taking care of a garden, and you just tell yourself, there's no weeds, there's no weeds, there's no weeds, right? That's not serving anybody. Same thing with those emotions, to go, I'm not mad, I'm not scared. It's like, come on, you absolutely are. Feel that, but then say, all right, what am I going to do with it? Where am I going to put it?
Yeah, excellent. Hey, we have time for just a couple more questions.
Yes.
But one of the things that I want to make sure we get to are the ways to contact you, because you have mentioned that you have done 267 episodes, but like, We can humble brag for a second. It's been wildly successful for you, right? I mean, both
thank you
personally and professionally, and
the
people you're interviewing and the places you're going and the things you're doing, and people need to pop on your website and they see you driving these fancy cars and doing racetracks, and like, you're having a blast, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So this experiment has paid off for you. Let's just acknowledge that.
Yep.
But how can we find out more about the podcast, about you, about the work you're doing?
Yeah, please do. Just come to MitchMatthews.com. We spent our whole marketing budget coming up with that domain name, Justin. So like, we were done after
You're
that.
Good at math and domain names.
I know, My goodness. It's amazing. So MitchMatthews.com will kind of get you into our world a little bit. You can also go to DreamThinkDo.com, which will take you right to the podcast. And really, that is a great way for us to get to spend time together at no cost, you know, to you, but we can hang out a little bit. And it really has been rewarding. I can tell you that there's been a lot of things that have worked well, and there have been a number of things that didn't, right? There's been a number of things that went down in flames, Justin. But at the same time, it's like, hey, if we're moving forward and we're learning from those things, then, you know, we're going to come out ahead in the end. So I'm grateful for that. But again, MitchMatthews.com, and the podcast is DreamThinkDo.com.
Excellent. And you do the podcast, you do coaching, where I'm assuming they can sign up for that coaching challenge that you're offering.
Yeah. Actually, if they want to find out more about the coaching challenge, and we are offering it for free right now for this window and for you guys, absolutely. So people can go specifically to MitchMatthews.com/5K. The challenge is called 7 days to 5K, and it's the whole idea of helping, especially coaches, be able to make it to that first 5K, for that first 5K client, that first 5K for their business. It's not some, as you know, it's not some, you know, you can drive Lamborghinis in 30 days or less kind of thing. It really is significant brass tacks business strategies, way more than people think that they're going to get from a free session. But for us, it really is providing value. And it's part of my goal of helping people to really get out there and help people launch dreams.
Excellent. Thank you. Final question.
Yes.
One of the phrases that I have started using during this time with my clients during this conference is we want to emerge out of this situation better and not bitter.
Ooh.
So would you leave us with one positive, encouraging, uplifting word of hope?
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. Better, not bitter. That is beautiful. Well, I think just to kind of piggyback on that, I'll go back to those words from Theodore Roosevelt. Do what you can with what you have where you are. It really is to start. And what's amazing about, like, if we could talk for an hour about Theodore Roosevelt, but Theodore Roosevelt grew up a sick, asthmatic, unpopular, short kid, right? But he just chose to wrestle those adversities to the ground and became this strong, incredible man. Imperfect, but incredible. And so much so, I don't know if you know the story, I'll leave you with this, but I always say this is absolutely amazing, but when Theodore Roosevelt was campaigning to become president, somebody actually, he was campaigning, he was at the back of, he was standing on the back of a train speaking to a crowd. He was about ready to pull out his speech from his breast pocket, and someone came up and tried to assassinate him. They shot at him, and the bullet went through his speech, went through a flask, and the bullet actually lodged in his ribcage.
Whoa.
If you can believe this. Okay. People wrestled the shooter to the ground, took him off. Theodore Roosevelt pulled out the script, pressed his hand to the bullet wound, and completed the speech. Now, I always think if I'm ever in a bad mood or feeling sick before a talk, I always think Theodore Roosevelt got shot and he still delivered, right? But it's one of those things where this was a man who grew up scared, small, sick, and he just learned to grow that in him. He found that fortitude within him. And I think we can all do that. So, you know, if you're feeling small, if you're feeling, you know, beat up, it's that whole thing of just find that in you. That grit to start where you're at with what you've got. And I think it'll be amazing. I think you very much so come out the other side better, not bitter.
Ah, that's excellent. And I'm a huge fan of Abraham Lincoln and the Civil War.
Yeah.
So we'll talk shop on president.
Oh, I love it. Let's do it.
Tons to learn from them. But thank you so much for joining us, Mitch. It has been a real pleasure, and you're going to bless a lot of people. Thank you for joining us on the Building with Purpose conference.